Good morning.
How
are you? Happy New Year. It's good to see you here. Thank you for coming today to worship with us here at Asbury United Methodist Church. To go over some of our announcements, I would like for you to look into your bulletin with me. pardon me, I'm a little stuffy today. If it is your first time, we do want to welcome you and ask that you will fill out your information on the pads that are located at the center of the pew, so that way we'll have a record of your attendance. We do have a church planning retreat that will be held this coming Saturday, January the 13th, and it will be from 9 to noon. We would really welcome your presence as we plan our activities for the coming year. The faith family dinners that we have on our Wednesday nights will be resuming again on January 17th, and pardon me. Be watching in the bulletin for our menu, so that way you can sign up and come and fellowship with one another on those evenings. And if you have a preschool age child, or you have a friend who has one, we have a preschool here, our Asbury Christian Child Development Center, and they're going to start their sign-ups for the fall 2018 year. And that starts on January the 10th. So watch out for that to come about, so spread the word. And then our youth will not be meeting tonight, but they will begin meeting again next Sunday night. Any other announcements will be located on the back of your bulletin. And then I would invite for you to stand and pass the peace of Christ with one another. If you will, please stand with me as if we join in our call to worship. O God, you made of one blood all nations,
and by a star in the east, revealed to all peoples whose name is Emmanuel.
Enable us to know your presence with us so we can proclaim his unsearchable riches
that all may come to life and bow before the brightness of his rising, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Please remain standing as we join in our hymn of praise, Crown Him with Many Crowns, page 327.
Oh, Good morning. Are we okay this morning? How was your first week back? Good, I'm glad. 8:30, they weren't quite sure. So I have a question. When you and your family go to another town, do you usually take a map with you? Do you know what a map is? I have a map of downtown Fort Worth and Dallas. Do you like maps? So what do you do with a map? What does it show you? It does. It shows you streets. It shows you places. What else? Maybe how roads connect. But now, a lot of times you have them in your car or on your phone, right? Well, you know what? Do you think that today's a special Sunday? Today's Epiphany Sunday. And we celebrate when the Magi, the wise men, came to visit baby Jesus. Now, the question is, do you think that the wise men had a map like this? No. They followed the star. That is correct. That was their map. Because I don't think that they had a map like this that says, okay, we have to go through the canyon, over the sand dune, you know, through the rocks. No, they did not. They followed a star. So another question to you today is this. What's our map? When we come to church and we come to Sunday school, we have a map that we follow. It doesn't look like this, and it's not a star. What do you think it is? The Bible. Very good. It's our map. It's our map to know who Jesus is, who God is, how he loves us, every one of us. We get to know a little bit about who God and Jesus is. But we also have other people that help us. Who would those be? Those people be? Where were you just? Some of y'all were just in what? Sunday school. Your Sunday school teachers. You might have also had your parents, your grandparents. They are all people that have maps that show you the right things to do and the wrong things to do. So think about that as we talk a little bit today about Epiphany and about the wise men, them having the star, that special star, their map. Think about what our map is. Our map is the Bible that leads us to God and to Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you because we want to worship you and to crown you as our King. We are so thankful for our Sunday school teachers and our pastors who want to help us, and we are thankful for the Bible, which has been given to us to lead us to you. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
As we prepare to go in God with to God in prayer, I invite your attention to the prayer list that's printed in the back of our bulletin. Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Jean Beth Hill, Jerry Mosley on the death of Dottie Mosley, Bob McInturf, Dave Mackey. Mildred Bradley is printed in the bulletin, but she passed away yesterday afternoon, so let's remember her family. And also, I'd like for you to add to your prayer list John Carson and Vicki Smith. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace that abounds in our lives. We thank you for allowing us to enter 2018 with an opportunity for a new beginning. Grant us your wisdom as we encounter doubt and uncertainty, that we may be saved from choices that would not honor you. Guide us daily on our paths and help us to bring light to all we encounter. We thank you for sending your son Jesus and for the wise men who came to worship him. We pray together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come, let's prepare to bless our morning offering. Father, we ask that you will bless these tithes and gifts that we give to you this morning. Help us to be good stewards of all the blessings that you give us with our time, our finances, and all the things that you give us each day. Help us as a church to be good stewards to further your kingdom. Amen. If you will, please remain standing for our last hymn, our hymn of meditation. There's something about that name which we will sing twice, and it's on page 171 in your hymnal.
Jesus, Jesus, as you sing, Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to Epiphany Sunday, and I hope that in my translation of Epiphany, that we have an aha moment this morning, that the light bulb comes on and that we see things clearly as God would have us to see it. But you know, when I was growing up, I didn't see things too clearly. I had to learn them the hard way, especially when I was a teenager, and I know some of you find that hard to believe. And I know that you men had boys who wouldn't listen to your advice either. Or maybe I should say all the guys sitting in this room did everything their fathers told them to do, right? Yeah, uh-huh. Of course we didn't. We had to learn things the hard way. And in essence, our own way. I can remember my dad wanted me to work with him after I graduated high school. And one day take over his business, Walker Refrigeration. I just didn't see me crawling around hot compressor rooms, getting filthy dirty, and getting called out at all hours of the night, and especially wearing that little blue shirt that had Walker Refrigeration over here and Doug over here. I told Dad that just wasn't for me, that I had to go to college and be the first one in my family to do so. However, if I would have listened to my dad, I would have been a self-made millionaire by this time in a very noble profession. But I guess God had different plans for me, because I did Dad's books for him when I was going to school in Fayetteville, and I would come home at Christmas break and I'd balance out his checkbook for the year. And I remember one Christmas season seeing the results of making $75 an hour in 1978. Boy, was that tempting. But I continued on my educational track. But many times my dad would say, if you would have just listened to me, you could have been driving a car like I'm driving, that Mercedes 500 SEL. Or you wouldn't be in the situation you're in now. Yes, Dad, shaking a tree here, Dad. Yes, boss. So it was just something that I just had to learn on my own. And I had to learn it the hard way. And they say that lessons learned the hard way are sometimes the best lessons at all. I remember one of the lessons when I was at Warrant Officer Candidate School, and those of you who have been in the military know what this is like. They would give us so many tasks that we had to learn how to prioritize. And they did it on purpose. So the lesson would be learning what is the most important task to do and the second most important task and so on and so on. Well, in today's scripture, we're going to find some people who know what is important, know how to listen to advice, and in the end, things worked out better for them. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn, please, to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be reading out of the second chapter, and we'll be reading verses 9 through 12, just a few verses, and I just pray that when these words are read aloud, that they find a place in your heart and that they bless you. Matthew 2, 9 through 12. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In last week, I said it's now time to elbow your neighbor because this associate pastor is not a normal person. Today is going to be no less of an example. I hope that you didn't come expecting to hear about how gold is referenced in the Bible or frankincense or myrrh. We're going to dig. And there's going to be that aha moment this morning, I certainly hope. First, let's take a closer look at one of the players in today's story. Let's take a look at Herod, Herod the Great. In the Christmas story told this time each year, Herod's the villain, and he's a villain for good reason. First, Herod was not Jewish. He was half Jewish. His mother was Arab and the daughter of a sheikh. And that sheikh, history tells us, was in the lineage of Ishmael, Abraham's oldest son and half-brother to Isaac. We all know the prophecies told about Ishmael, how he would be as wild as an ass, and his offspring, brother, would war against brother. One of the first aha moments. Herod was also an opportunist. He took advantage of political Roman unrest to claw his way up the political ladder. He associated himself with a gentleman by the name of Octavius. And if you know history, that person would later become Caesar Augustus. I guess you could say that Herod had low friends in high places. Herod used his Arab heritage to put Jerusalem on the Arab trade route and bring commerce to Jerusalem, something, of course, to his business advantage. But in all the accomplishments in business and politics, Herod was a very jealous and paranoid man. He was named governor of the territory around Jerusalem, which was Judah, because he was a sly politician who worked well with the Roman conquerors. He played off his Jewish heritage, or his Arab heritage, or his political savvy with the Romans, whichever benefited him the most. Next, let's see about these wise men, or as we read in the book of Matthew out of the NIV, it's magi. Well, first, magi is a Greek translation of a Persian term magus, M-A-G-U-S, which means wise man. We don't have time to get into the whole story this morning, but you remember when the king of Persia, Nebuchadnezzar, would conquer different nations, he would take the wisest of that nation and he would add them to his council of advisors and his astrologers and his fortune tellers. But when the nation of Israel was captured and taken to Babylon, you remember, Daniel was added to his council of advisors. Now we know the story of the king having a dream and wanted it interpreted, and all of the other advisors hem-hawed and tripped over themselves and tried and tried and tried and tried. But it was God who revealed that dream to Daniel, and he was able to interpret the dream of the king. Nebuchadnezzar was so impressed that he appointed Daniel as the chief of all magus, or chief magi. Now, from that position, he would have been over all of the wise men, and he would have taught the other wise men the books of the Old Testament and the Torah. Because put yourself in the shoes of one of those other advisors that was threatened to be chopped up if they didn't interpret the dream of the king. You got it now. They're going to him and saying, "How did you interpret that dream? Who told you about this dream? How did you know what it meant?" And Daniel said, "It was Yahweh. Tell me about Yahweh." In the fifth chapter of 2 Samuel, and I'm going to read it to you, all of the tribes came to King David and joined together. It says, "All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.'" When the Magi from Persia told Herod that they were there and they quoted 2 Samuel, Herod listened. Then he called his chief priests together, and they quoted from the book of Micah and said, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Herod probably spit his morning coffee on the floor in surprise. He had been appointed governor over Judah by the Roman authorities. His commerce from the east was now also in jeopardy because it was the Persian Magi that came to worship a new king of the Jews, and the Jewish leaders were telling him that his kingship was in jeopardy because a new king of the Jews had been prophesied to join once again all of the different tribes under one king. Herod went quietly crazy. He asked the Magi to find the new king of the Jews and return to him and tell him where he was at so he too could go worship him. Right. We know that the Magi brought gifts to Jesus, who was now between the ages of 1 and 2, as Bible scholars tell us. But after this visit, an angel warned the Magi not to return to Herod, but rather to return to their homeland by a different route. Herod was so paranoid, so egotistical, and so self-centered that when he found out that he had been tricked, as he had tricked everybody else to get to the position where he was at, he went crazy, and he ordered every Jewish male child under 2 years old to be murdered. Joseph, too, had been warned in a dream to get up and take his family to Egypt and not return until after King Herod had died. And died he did. History tells us it's recorded that Herod died a painful and debilitating disease that caused breathing problems, convulsions, rotting of his body, and even worms. While he was alive, Herod was so paranoid, he had several of his 10 wives murdered and 2 of his 5 sons because he felt threatened by them. When Herod died, his governorship was divided equally among his 3 remaining sons. One of them, Herod Antipas, was one of the conspirators in the trial and execution of Jesus. Are the light bulbs coming on yet? Of the 3 people we've talked about this morning, we can easily see who listened to the advice given to them by God and who was so used by evil as to be one of the most ruthless rulers this world has ever seen, and whose son was used by evil to convict Jesus of crimes he didn't even commit. All of these details, all of these stories, all of the connections, see it from 2 Samuel to the capture of the nation of Israel and Daniel being put in such a position as to tell the leaders, the wise men from other countries about Yahweh and about 2 Samuel and about the Torah and teach them, to the Gospel of Matthew. It's all exciting and eye-opening to me, to say the least. But just exactly what does that mean for us, Asbury United Methodist Church, or for that matter, any other New Testament church today? We're coming up on a planning retreat this next Saturday to plan missions, outreach, inreach, projects, and many other things that's going to happen over this next year, 2018, and even beyond. In every committee meeting, decisions will be made that can impact this church for years down the road. Kind of like throwing a rock in the middle of a pond and watching those ripples travel out farther and farther. What I think we need to do is this. In every meeting we have in this upcoming year, in every project this church wants to accomplish, and in every discussion that takes place even between just 2 people about this church, we need to ask ourselves this one very important question. is the end result of this meeting or this project or this discussion honoring to me or honoring to Jesus? If we put Jesus first in all we do, in all we say, and in all of our efforts, 2018 can be a fantastic year, not just for Asbury, but for the city of Little Rock and beyond. We have a choice as we turn the calendar to a new year. To use an old expression that sold countless bracelets, let's always ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? God threw a rock in the middle of a pond in Genesis 1:1, and the rings of connected ripples, as we have seen this morning, have been moving outward ever since. In all things, let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's honor Christ, and God will lead us to the places we need to go and in the way He wants us to get there. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we begin to prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion, I invite you to turn to page 12, please. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love, and we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Glory to God. Amen. Join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join in their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave thanks to You, and He broke the bread and gave it to His disciples. And He said, take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And when the supper was over, He took the cup, and He gave thanks to you, gave it to His disciples, and He said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. And so, in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in mystery to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we have come to Your table this morning. We have come with gladness in our heart, Lord, but we've also come asking for Your forgiveness because we have not followed Your word completely as You would have us to do. Lord, you know that we are failures in where you need us to be. But Father, ask us, help us, please, get to that place that you need to show us the way. And the way is through your Son, because he is the truth and the life. And he will show us the way. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, our hymn of commitment, is Go Tell It on the Mountain, hymn number 251. And we invite anyone who would like to unite with this church forward at this time, or our prayer rails are always open. As we're standing to sing, please, hymn number 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain. I'm not sure if you were excited as I was in preparing that message, but for me, it was an epiphany, aha moment, to see God's Word throughout the ages connecting ripple after ripple after ripple, and it just came alive to me. And I hope that in your study that His Word comes alive for you in just that fashion. Please bow your head and receive this blessing. Father, I thank you for this new year. I thank you for bringing us to this place that we're standing and just seeing the ripples in your word, and that in your great plan, that you had a plan and that is not yet completed, and that we are part of that great plan. Help us to play the part that you would have us to play. Help us to be the hands and the feet of your church, of Jesus Christ, and spread the world and spread your word into darkness, into dark places where it is so much needed. Bless these, your people, Lord. Keep them safe this week. Bring us all back together safe and sound next week as we listen to praise and worship from this choir, as we hear your word taught, and Father, as we receive blessings from you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.